ladies. I appreciate that. They were looking over at me as the time was running. And is this thing on? It's not on. Hallelujah. Well, good. Now it is. I guess it helps if you turn it on. Amen. And they were looking at me, and they were giving me the sign. You know, they didn't want to sing. And I don't know about you, but I kind of understood from what Brother Daniel said that in the spirit of camp, we've got till 10 o'clock tonight. You're laughing, but inside you're saying, "Dear Lord, please." Thankfully, we have the same Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about bringing out one point tonight. Just one thing. He said, "Dan, just talk about one thing." And he knew. So it is 1 minute past the time that we normally leave. And so I'm going to make you a promise that if I don't fulfill my promise, I'm giving Carmen the opportunity to just wail on me when it's done on the way home. And she can just give it to me. Take your Bibles, if you would, Exodus chapter 16 and verse 1. And I'm serious. God gave me one thought for tonight. And he knew that everything... Listen, I wouldn't have traded hearing all those testimonies and hearing the songs. And we're very grateful. I was a teenager once. I know that you can't believe that, but I was a teenager once. And during my teen years, I can think of two times. And one of those times took place at camp. For me, it was a fork in the road. And I had to make a decision. And the decision that I made would have affected the entire rest of my life. And I can say, looking back, had I made the wrong decision that day, I would not be standing here this evening. So we do not discount the fact that the teens have that time to go to camp. You say, "Well, it looked like there's a lot of fun going on." Absolutely. And in all of that fun, the Holy Spirit of God works in the heart. It doesn't take near as much fun for you and me for the Holy Spirit to work in our hearts. And thankfully, right? Or if you want, we could have some kickball after church tonight and we'll do something if that'll lighten the mood. But no, I'm very grateful for the teenage years, and I'm very grateful for the time that we have. And I thank the Lord for teenagers. We were told, "Oh, Brother Dan, five of them. Oh, my soul, Brother Dan, what are you going to do?" We thoroughly enjoyed our kids. We thoroughly enjoyed them. You say, were there issues? Absolutely. Was it all fun and games? No, it was not. But we enjoyed the teenage years. And I would not trade having kids for anything in the world. And especially now that the grandkids are showing up. Amen. Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. I'll not belabor the point. Many of us know the story of what happens here, but we'll just read briefly to begin, and then we'll move along. And so Exodus chapter 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. Very specific, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. There's nothing new under the sun. Hallelujah. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Interesting note. They were in slavery when they were talking about this time. The time that they're referring to, they were slaves. They were being beaten because they weren't producing enough. But they didn't talk about that. They talked about being full. It's just interesting. Note, then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and shall be twice as much as they shall gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. Boy, he's really driving that point home. All this murmuring and the murmur and the murmurs, and he's really driving that here. He says, are not against us. He said, but they're against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. What are we going to talk about? Murmuring? Nope, we're not going to talk about murmuring tonight. There's something blessed in this scripture and then to follow. But first, we must pray. Father, we pray that you'd be with us. Holy Spirit of God, show us something tonight and use us for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Day 16th of the second month of the year, Exodus, it makes its first appearance. What are we referring to? I didn't take time to read the whole chapter or all the verses that we needed to read, but you know what happens next. Manna shows up. God provides manna. After that, we see the children of God murmuring and whining against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Manna from heaven was that special and extraordinary gift that supplied a very special need where ordinary means were not sufficient. Now go with me, if you would, and I said I would be brief, and I promise that, Joshua chapter 5. Very, very soon after these books, after Deuteronomy, you'll see Joshua in chapter 5 and verse 10. We have a reference to the very same thing that we just read about. Joshua 5 and verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month, at even, in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho, and we'll get to that in just a moment. But day 16th of the first month of the year, they entered Canaan. Manna then ceases to fall. Israel had crossed just in time for the Passover. And we find that God always has perfect timing. This was only the third Passover that Israel had celebrated. The first being in Egypt. The second was at Mount Sinai. And then here, the third Passover, almost 40 years later. I say almost because 39 years and 11 months later to the day, the Passover takes place, where they look back to the Exodus and they look ahead to the cross. 39 years and 11 months. This is the thought. They walked out, and on the ground was food that they were to gather for that day. And then one day a week, they were to gather enough food for that following day. And every day that they walked out to gather this food that miraculously appeared on the ground, they were only to gather enough for that day. And if they gathered more than enough for that day, it would spoil and it would turn rotten and it would stink. If you read your scripture, only enough for that day. It reminds me of a lot of what we do at home sometimes. We get into a little bit of a rut. The alarm goes off in the morning, and we swing our feet out of the bed. It drops to the ground, and we go, ugh. And then we get up, and we shuffle to wherever we need to shuffle. But one of those shuffles is to the coffee maker. And then we take it out, and we go, and we go through the motions. Now, for me, we're a little bit of a coffee snob at our house, and so we have to grind our beans every morning, which is a pleasure at very early in the morning to hear the grinder go off and coffee beans are going, especially if you're not the one performing this and you're still sleeping. But we go through the motions and we do the same thing almost without thinking. I remember my father talking about getting up in the morning. They lived just outside of Detroit, and he would drive into Detroit every day to go to work at a CPA firm. And he told me that it became so customary and ritual that there would be times that he would wake up at the firm. And he had no clue what happened between the house and his work. And many of you can relate to that. These children of Israel had become accustomed for 39 years and 11 months. Every day, the same thing happened. Every day, they would go out, they would pick up the food, and they knew what to expect. But here in Joshua, all of a sudden, things changed. All of a sudden, manna no longer fell from the sky. All of a sudden, now what are we going to do for food? Now, how are we going to eat? And we find here that the replacement of manna with natural corn here in Scripture is presented here as a blessing for obedience. And this may seem odd to us that the natural would be a greater blessing than the supernatural, but let's consider this. And we're getting to our thought, and we're going to wind it down, and I will have fulfilled my promise to you this evening. On that very same day of the year that they began to take of the fruit of the land, only centuries later, Jesus Christ rose from the tomb. And Christ shares this in John chapter 6 and verse 34. Stay with me. John chapter 6 and verse 34, when he says this: "Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto him, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I say unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that all of which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again on the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Verse 41, the Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he saith, I came down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said unto him, murmur not amongst yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up on the last day, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father, save he which is God, he hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He says then in 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness, and they're dead. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Why do you share this with us tonight, Brother Dan? I believe that many are waiting for a miracle of God to supply a need. They're waiting for an extraordinary gift. They're waiting for a special gift to supply a need, when something that has already been transpired is sufficient to take care of any need that you and I might have need of or might want. So the question tonight is, why are you waiting for a miracle? Through Christ, the bread of heaven, we have a mediator with God, 1 Timothy 2:5. We have complete and total payment for sin, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. And he is the propitiation, the big word that means he is the satisfying payment for our sin. We have, the Bible says in Romans, and I'd love to read this for you in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. We have peace with God. He says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have peace with God. We also not only have peace with God, but we have the peace of God. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 6 and 7 that we have the peace that passeth all understanding. Romans chapter 6 and verse 14 says that we have victory over sin. We are no longer enslaved to sin. We have been set free to where we no longer have to live that way. We have His love. We just read that in Romans 5 and verse 5. And He says, the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts. And we have His provision. Philippians chapter 4. My God will supply all your needs according to His riches in glory. We are sitting or standing or breathing with one of the greatest miracles that has ever taken place that abides with us, who calls us friend, who calls us His son and His daughter. And we stand around at times and we're looking up saying, Lord, boy, we sure do need a miracle. Oh, Lord, we need to hear from You. We've said it. We've thought it. And yet, here we are. I believe that this relates a little bit to the children of Israel that day when all of a sudden manna discontinued to fall. And they failed to realize that the whole reason for that manna to fall was so that they would look to the Lord daily for their daily sustenance. And you and I have within us the abiding Spirit of God, that third part of the Trinity that abides with us, that is our guide. And it is God with us, Emmanuel. Paul says it best in verse 2 of Philippians. Verse 13, I mean, in chapter 2. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So the thought for this evening, and this is what God gave me, and I will have been obedient by sharing what God gave me to you this evening, is looking at this and then asking the question, why are we waiting for a miracle when we have the miracle maker that abides in us? With heads bowed and eyes closed, the ladies are coming to the instruments to play the invitation hymn. Perhaps the Holy Spirit of God touched your heart tonight about something. Maybe it's the fact that we have maybe forgotten a little bit about what we actually have that abides in us. Now is the time to look to heaven. As the children of Israel look to heaven, and as the ladies play, as they look to heaven, and they said, where's the manna? Where's the manna? Now's the time for us to remember what Christ said in John when He said, I am the bread of life. I am everything that you need. You don't need anything else. Just look to Me. Perhaps you're here tonight and the Holy Spirit of God has touched your heart and you might avail yourself of the altar. As we stand quietly to our feet, the ladies are playing. Maybe you need to do business with God. Now is the time. Thank the Lord for His sustenance. Thank the Lord for His provision. Thank the Lord for salvation this evening. Maybe you're here this evening. You hear us talk about God being the provision, but you have yet to place your faith and your trust in Christ as your personal Savior. I would invite you to come forward this evening. Just leave your pew, your seat, and come forward this evening. Someone here in the front will speak to you and show you how that God can be your everything. Your everything. Thank the Lord for the reminder tonight in His Word. He is the bread of life.
As they continue to play one more verse, and if God's dealing with your heart, would you just do business with Him? You know, I think Brother Dan is exactly right. The Lord spoke to my heart. He's exactly right. And that we want something different. We want something more. But then we have all that we need within us if the Lord saved us and He goes with us. What a wonderful, wonderful treasure we often overlook. So many times we overlook it, that the ever-abiding presence of the Lord with us. If you're saved this evening, I just want you to take a little time, as I just did, thanking God for the fact that He never leaves us, He never forsakes us. Through every difficulty, through every trial, through every issue of life, He is with us. And if God's dealing with your heart, would you do business with Him? Father, thank You now for the time to be in Your house. Lord, what a blessing it has been. All the evening was wonderful, dear Lord. The message You used to speak to me, dear Lord, thank You for that. And Lord, the young people, I'm so proud, so excited for them. Anytime that somebody would get up, and the ones that gave testimonies and the other ones that sang in the choir loft here, just to stand up and be counted and say, I'm not ashamed. Recognize the fact I've been blessed by God. Thank You for giving them a safe, good week. Thank You for Brother Daniel, Miss Becca, Miss Stacy going with them, Brother Ben. Thank You for them taking time out of their life just to invest. Thank You for all of that. And dear Lord, thank You for the good singing earlier. Thank You for all that went on. Thank You for the special about, dear Lord, just You and me, Jesus and me. Thank You so much for each aspect of the service. And we'll ask You to bless us as we go to our homes. Dear Lord, I pray that You give us a wonderful, wonderful time. I do pray for those that are sick and hurting tonight that need Your touch. I pray that You be especially close to them in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you. May look this way. What a joy to be in church tonight. And I want us all to realize, I know I am aware of this, and I want you to be, of how blessed Buffalo Ridge is to have men of God like Brother Dan, who's able to take the Word of God and handle it. And Brother Daniel equally does a fabulous job just taking the Word of God and not only speaking in places that you don't see and classes and whatnot, but these are both men. I'm completely and totally aware of this, that there'd be many churches that would love to just have them pastor their church. And we have been blessed to have men that I get to serve with, and you get the blessings of being around, that they could quite quickly go do something else. But God has put them here. I'm so thankful for that. Brother Dan, thank you for the wonderful message. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord. There is a little part of me that's hoping that Carmen's idea of a short sermon is different than yours, and I'd like to ride home with you and see if she did wail on you, but I'm just going to leave it alone. And thank you so much for being in church. And Brother Dan is right. What part would we have taken out? Oh, isn't it wonderful to see young people that would get up and say something for the Lord and say something about camp and just sit up here? I told them, said they filled this front pew up, and wonderful just to see that. And what a joy, what a blessing. Thank you for being in church tonight. I challenge you again. Don't forget, it's Preacher Lassie's birthday tomorrow, 89 years old. And he is down again at the visitation for his brother. But I challenge you this week, maybe get a note to him, drop by the office, whatever you want to do, we'll get it to him. And he is a wonderful man of God. We thank the Lord for him. And I want you to continue to encourage him. And then I think that's it. Brother Daniel, do we have anything else we need? Okay. All right. Don't forget, Tuesday night, 6 o'clock, will be in the gymnasium, the Family Life Center. We'll eat pizza, then we'll go out and canvas for Bible school, get some young people excited about being in here around the Word of God. How many of you went to Bible school when you were a kid? Folks, it still works. I know it's later than it's ever been before, but it still works. It'll be a great time to get young people in here, get them around the book, and have a good time in the midst of all that as well. Thank you for being in church tonight. God bless you. You're dismissed.